In the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the name of Sarah, Rebecca, Leah, and Rachel. Amen.
Amen.
Lewis Allen, Willie Brewster, Benjamin Brown, Johnny May Chapel, James Cheney, Adam A. Collins, Vernon Dahmer. These are the names of just some of the people that gave their lives in what has become known in the United States as the Civil Rights Movement. I think the term civil rights is a misnomer. It is limiting. It is not an accurate description of what these people were fighting for, what they died for. The right to be treated as a human being without regard to color is, in my view, a human right, not a civil right. Civil implies something that is bestowed upon you by the state. Human implies something that is ordained by God for you. Jonathan Daniels, Henry Hezekiah D., Roman Duckworth Jr., Willie Edwards, Medgar Evers, Andrew Goodman, Paul Goddard. These are names of more people who gave their lives in the struggle that demanded, in the words of Martin Luther King, that we be judged not by the color of our skin, but by the content of our character. And I can go on. There are more people that I could name. The list doesn't end here. And there were countless people that were injured by billy clubs on their skulls. There were many who, in the words of Malcolm X, were subject to water hoses that tore the clothes off their face and the flesh off their limbs. Many suffered life-altering disabilities as a result of the violence inflicted upon them in the movement. And this, my friends, this, my brothers and sisters, was a Jesus movement. This movement was about the justice and righteousness demanded by the prophets of the Old Testament and the love proclaimed by Jesus. The songs were songs of our faith. What became the anthem of the movement, "We Shall Overcome," had its roots in the spiritual "I Shall Overcome," which spoke of overcoming the pain and miseries of this world and joining Jesus in God's kingdom. Other songs like "This Little Light of Mine," "Amen," "Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Around," "Wade in the Water," these songs were unifying and empowering. These were songs of hope, determination, and faith in Jesus. And the men and women who led that movement, that Jesus movement, were almost without exception ordained ministers of the Holy Gospel. Andy Young, Martin King, Ralph Abernathy, C.T. Vivian, Clay Evans, Willie Barrows, all ordained preachers. And what was the foundation of a movement? What did that Jesus movement declare and demand more than anything else? What did the participants in that movement demand of themselves? Exactly that which Jesus demands of us. To love everybody, to love even those who hurt, oppress, and persecute you. The members of that movement personify Christian love. Reverend Andy Young said, "One of the principles of nonviolence is that you leave your opponents whole and better off than you found them." For that Jesus movement, there were no enemies, just misguided children of God. They didn't want to destroy Bull Connor. They just wanted him to do what was right. Yes, those people in the civil rights movement, the human rights movement, the Jesus movement, realized that to be true to the teachings of Jesus, they had to be different. They had to take risks. They had to put their bodies on the line. They had to be creative. They had to love when everything around them said hate. To follow through with their faith, they had to walk towards snarling police dogs, not run away from them. They had more on their minds than maintaining the status quo, and safety could not be a priority. When they lined up in Birmingham, Alabama, that hot spring morning in 1963, when they sang the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine," when they marched arm in arm into the failing billy clubs and snarling police dogs, they were abandoning their safety and security in the name of Jesus and all that is right. This morning, we read the parable of the talents. Now, I'm not going to try to unpack that parable totally. That parable is chock full of meanings and double meanings. There are a bunch of things there that I see, and I'm confident there are a lot of things that I failed to see. I'm just going to focus on what stood out for me, what caught my eye, what captured my heart, what the people of the human rights movement understood clearly, that Jesus demands more of us than to be safe and secure, that Jesus expects and demands that we take risks in his name. In this story, a wealthy man prepares for a journey by entrusting his estate to his servants. In Luke's version of this parable, 10 slaves received 1 pound apiece to do the master's business. In Matthew's version, however, there are only 3 servants, and they receive shares according to their ability. Although the first receives 5 times as much as the last, each receives a significant sum of money. A talent was equal to about 6,000 denarii. Since 1 denarius is a common laborer's daily wage, a talent would be roughly equivalent to 20 years of wages for the average worker. 5 talents, the largest amount entrusted to one of the servants, is comparable to 100 years worth of labor, an astronomical amount of money. The first 2 servants take risks. They invest the master's talents, his money. They give him a return. They seem to have knowledge of the master's wishes, expectations, and desires. They seem to have conducted themselves as the master would have conducted himself. When he returns, the master's pleased with their behavior and what they have accomplished. The third servant, however, has played it safe. He has chosen not to take any risk. He chooses his words very unwisely and has acted out the character of the master, out of the character of the master. The master's reaction is negative and rejecting. The master does not perceive the servant as playing it safe. He interprets his lack of action as laziness. Of the many messages in this parable, this one seems clear to me. To follow the way of Jesus requires that we take risks, that we be exceptional, that we do not consistently choose the way of safety and security, that we seek to understand the character and expectations of Jesus and emulate them. In this world today, in this nation today that is marked by strife and polarization, to be like Jesus requires that you take risks to be exceptional. It is easy and safe to be quiet, to be complacent, but to be quiet and to be complacent is not to be like Jesus. So it is so very easy to join the chorus of conflict and accusation. It is harder to reach out and seek understanding and resolution. It is easy to respond with ill feeling, even hate, but answering hate with hate solves nothing. Martin King said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Hate multiplies hate. Violence multiplies violence, and toughness multiplies toughness, and the descending spiral of destruction, the chain reaction of evil, hate begetting wars, wars producing more wars, must be broken, or we shall be plunged into the dark abyss of annihilation. And let me tell you something about this country. One person is not responsible for all the racism you see today. One person is not responsible for all the anti-immigrant sentiment you see today. One man is not responsible for our current anti-environmental positions. One person is not responsible for our isolation from other democracies in the world. And if you think the departure of one person is going to reverse, solve, or change all those things, then think again. One person may have created an atmosphere where it became okay for people to voice their feelings, but one person did not instill in people those feelings. It is up to us to live on a daily basis the teachings of Jesus. It is up to us to take risks and challenge racism when we see it, but it is also up to us to love and respect each other no matter what views we have. Hating will solve nothing. Withholding aid and assistance from those we disagree with will only confirm their antagonistic feelings. I am not sure that I have the capacity to face police dogs and water hoses, to love the handlers of the dogs and hoses. I admire and respect the men and women who did, and I strive to be like them as I strive to be like Jesus. I strive to be like the servants who are not safe and invested the master's talents. In this atmosphere, in the atmosphere in this country today, to preach the gospel of Jesus is risky. You see, you never know who you're talking to. When I say preach, I'm not talking about what you do with your mouth. I'm talking about what you do with your feet. Most people do not have a problem when you start talking about being Christian, but they have a huge problem when you start acting like one. Emmanuel AME Church is in Charleston, South Carolina. Emmanuel is one of the oldest Black churches in America. Its nickname is Mother Emmanuel because of its role in the movement. On a Wednesday evening in 2015, Bible study was going on at Emmanuel. A white supremacist named Dylan Roof came into the meeting and sat down. In that environment, the appearance and presence of Roof should have set off alarm bells in the heads of the congregants, but in the name and tradition of Jesus, they welcomed Roof. Roof got up and shot and killed 9 members of that congregation. His beef with them was that they were Black and that Black people were taking over the country. It was his stated goal to start a race war. The church's response to the shooting was to ask for calm and prayers. Prayers not only for the dead and their families, but prayers for Dylan Root as well. The daughter of 70-year-old Ethel Lance went to Root's court hearing and confronted him. She said, "I will never talk with her again. I will never be able to hold her again, but I forgive you." At the memorial service for the slain pastor of Emmanuel, the church was clear that they stood for everything that Root was against. He stood for hate, but they stood for love, and that Root's actions had not changed that. To thunderous applause, AME Bishop John Bryan said, "Someone should have told that young man he wanted to start a race war, but he came to the wrong place." The parishioners of Emmanuel and the families of the dead responded to this horrific atrocity with love and forgiveness. They were being like Jesus. They were not doing or saying what came natural and easy and safe. And you know, they received criticism for their stance. They were accused of being disingenuous. They were told that they were operating out of a plantation mentality. It was said that they were seeking the approval of the white community at the expense and the welfare of their own community. It was said that they were unhealthy because they had jumped to the last stage of grief, which is forgiveness, without going through the other 4 stages first. Yes, following the example and commands of Jesus is not always safe, easy, and popular. It would have been safe for those people in Birmingham in 1963 to have stayed home and never confronted Bull Connor. It would have been understandable for them to react out of hate. It would have made sense for all the servants in the talents parable to have done the safe and easy thing and bury the master's money and give back to him what was given to them. It would have been understandable, acceptable, and normal for the members of the families of Emmanuel to have reacted in anger and sought revenge on Dylan Root. We must strive to be what Jesus expects, wants, and knows we can be. We are required to rise above what is normal and expected. We must take the risks that comes with creating a nation where, in the words of Amos, justice run down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. To be like the servant that buried the master's money and play the safe is not what Jesus demands of us. To be like everybody else is not what the master expects of us. What is the point if we are just like everybody else? Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? that even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Amen.